Poor Joan ain't got nobody. She's nobody's sweetheart now.
Featuring the romantic singing of Andy Russell.
Amor, amor, amor.
With a great comedy cast including Verna Felton, Shirley Mitchell, the music of Paul Weston and his orchestra, you're sponsorly Harry Von Zell. And here's the star of our show, America's Queen of Comedy, Joan Davis.
Oh, no, Joan, come here.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, Joan, put away that can of wax. That isn't the floor you're polishing. It's the violin player's bald head.
Oh, dear. Joan, now stop that and come over here, will you? I want to talk to you.
What do you want, Harry?
Joan, shame on you. I wanted to ask you, Joan, if you had any plans for the coming Washington's birthday weekend.
Oh, yes, I have plans. I'm going up to my little brother's school and tell his class the true story of George Washington in the cherry tree.
Now, what do you mean, the true story?
Well, Harry, when George Washington chopped down the cherry tree, he came home and told his father about it, but his father didn't scold him, punish him, or spank him. And you know why?
Why?
Well, he was no dope. The kid had an axe in his hand.
Swanville, USA, February 18th. Today, with the nation grappling with the problem of surplus, the Swanville National Bank is concerned over a baffling surplus problem of its own. A startling surplus of $300 that is entirely unaccounted for, causing Bank President Joshua P. Weatherby to confer with his chief auditor.
Well, I finally found a mistake, Mr. Weatherby. This lady made out her deposit slip for $300 less than she actually deposited.
Let me see that slip. Huh. I should have known it was she. In my 20 years as president of this bank, never have I found a woman more ignorant, more scatterbrained, and more stupid.
And nowhere in Swanville will you find a woman who fits that description more perfectly than in...
Joanie's Tea Room. Joan Davis speaking. Oh, hello, Mrs. Weston. Well, I can't talk to you now. I'm very worried. Yeah, $300 is missing from my cash register. No, I'm not going to go with the police. I'm going to find out who took it myself. You know, my uncle is a famous detective in Scotland Yard. He worked on the strange case of the missing Lord Calvert. Mm-hmm. What did he do? He caught the crook, cracked the crime, killed the case of Calvert, and crawled home crocked.
Say, Joan.
Did you find the money, Harry?
No, and I've looked all through the tea room, the kitchen, the cupboards, the pantry, and I can't find any sign of your missing $300.
Gee whiz, it's discouraging, ain't it? You know, I've worked so hard, and every time this tea room starts to show a little profit, something happens to take it away. Last week, the sink was stopped up. And the week before that, boy, that was a Lulu.
Why, what happened then?
Two of the tea bags sprung a leak. Oh, it's no use. I'm afraid my $300 is gone. Gone forever.
Forever?
Yeah, forever. A-M-B-E-R, forever.
Well, look, don't give up so quickly, Joan. Hey, maybe you've got the money on you.
What do you mean on me?
Well, you know, Joan, women sometimes carry money in their... Well, tied to their... Strapped to their...
Oh,
you know.
Oh, well, wait till I look. I'll just, Harry, turn your back.
Oh, all right.
And shut your eyes.
Yeah, okay.
Now, you... The right one, too.
Okay.
Now, Harry, are you sure you can't see?
Positive.
All right, then. Nope, it's not in my shoe. And anyhow, I'm getting more and more convinced that this is an inside job. Somebody who's around this tea room every day took that money. Yoo-hoo, Miss Davis, yoo-hoo.
Yeah, speaking of somebody that's around here every day, here's Rosella Hipperton.
Oh, yeah, hi, you hippie.
Hello, Miss Davis, and Mr. Von Zell. Hello. I've had so much excitement today.
Well, you think you've had excitement, hippie. Let me tell you what happened to me.
Really, Miss Davis, I'd hardly be interested in anything that happened in your dull life. Oh, Harry, I'm so thrilled.
Well, next month the Swanville Kennel Club is holding its annual dog show. And for the first time in 5 years, I, Rosella Hipperton, will have an entry.
Is that so?
Yes. And I fully expect to win the blue ribbon with my setter. What?
Well, from where I stand, Hippie, you can't miss.
Why, I never heard such a thing. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know, Rosella, that I once won a blue ribbon.
Is that so, Harry?
Oh, yes, yes. My entry was the class of the show, a real thoroughbred. A true champion.
Oh, Harry, what was it? A cocker spaniel?
No, a caker swanio.
Oh!
Now stop barking. Yes, Rosella, Swan always wins first prize, you know, because Swan is the new white floating soap that's four swell soaps in one. It's pure as fine Castile. Swan's a natural for baby and for you. And because Swan's a whiz for suds, it's great for dishes and light laundry, too. For baby, for you, for dishes and light laundry. Swan's a four-time winner.
Well, Harry, you're right that Swan wins the blue ribbon for soaps. But just wait until you see my Irish setter.
Oh.
He's very valuable because he's pure bread.
Pure bread? He'd be more valuable if he was pure butter.
Well, I don't know.
I got off a good one there.
Yes. You know something? He'd be twice as valuable if he was pure Swan, because you can take a bar of Swan, break it in two, and have two generous cakes of soap. Swan for the kitchen and Swan for the bath. And Swan for every soap and water job in the house, as a matter of fact. Boy, what a champion, huh? And what a pedigree. What a soap.
Well, I must run along now. I've got to stop at the kennel and pay for my dog. I just bought him, you know.
Well, Rosella, was he very expensive?
Certainly. He cost me $300.
$300? Did you say $300?
Yes, why?
Oh, well, you see, Mrs. Hipperton, there are $300 missing from Joan's cash register, and she doesn't know where it went to.
Well, from the looks of things, it went to the dogs.
Miss Davis, are you ridiculous enough to imply that I had anything to do with your missing money? That makes me laugh, I must confess.
Well, confess now and laugh later. Where's my $300,
Miss Davis? I refuse to listen to any more of your vile insinuations. I am withdrawing my patronage for this tea room forever. Here's my credit card. Now kindly return my monogram teacup.
You want your shaving mug too, Hippie?
Yes. No! Oh, good day!
Joan, listen, you shouldn't have spoken that way to Mrs. Hipperton. Before you make an accusation, you've got to weigh the evidence.
Weigh the evidence or weigh Hippie? Either way, it comes out $300.
Hiya, Harry.
Oh, hello, Andy.
What's the matter, Miss Davis? You look upset.
I am Andy. Something wrong there. You am Andy, ain't you?
I am, Miss Davis.
Now he's Miss Davis. Then who am I?
Oh, let's stop this. Now, who's going to wash the dishes?
I am, Harry.
Oh, now he's Harry. Say, let's straighten this out. First, I'm Joan, and second, you're Andy.
Well, what's third?
No, who's on third? What's his pitching?
Hey, Abbott! What's going on here, anyway?
Anyway, Miss Davis, you do look upset.
I am, Andy. Oh, no, I'm not going through that.
Gee, Miss Davis, I'm sorry that you're upset, because I'm very happy today. I stopped in to see Senor Belcanto, the famous voice coach, and after giving me a vocal audition, he agreed to accept me as one of his pupils.
Well, that's a great break, Andy, but Senor Belcanto is pretty expensive, isn't he?
Oh, yes. He charges $30 a lesson.
How many lessons are you taking?
10.
Joan, 10 times 30. Get it? 30
times?
Well,
sure. 10 times 30 is 500. Well, that clears Andy.
Clears me of what?
Well, Andy, you might as well know there are $300 missing from Joan's cash register.
Oh, that's too bad. I... Hey, wait a minute. You don't think I took it?
Oh, no, I don't, Andy.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure if I were you, Joan.
Harry, I resent that.
Well, go ahead and resent it if you want to, but frankly, I don't like your attitude.
Well, I don't like your attitude.
Oh, you don't, huh?
No, I don't.
Well, in that case, would you like to step out in the alley for a minute?
All right.
Now, Joan, now that we're alone, I want to...
and get Andy in out of that alley?
I'm not going out there. He's mad. You go get him.
Oh, all right. Andy, come on in here.
I'm not coming in until Harry apologizes.
All right, come on in. I apologize.
And that's better.
But I still don't think you're clear of suspicion.
Oh, you don't,
no,
huh?
No, I don't.
Would you care to step out in the alley for a minute?
Sure.
Well, Miss Davis, now that we're alone, you don't really think that...
Oh, of course not, Andy. Say, what was the song you sang for Signor Belcanto?
Oh, I sang that brand new song from the Walt Disney picture, Make Mine Music. It's called Without You.
Is it a love song? Is it sweet? Is it worth $300?
Well, I'll let you judge for yourself.
I'm so lonely and blue when I'm without you. I don't know what I'd do, sweetheart, without you. The joy in tears that love endears would have no meaning if I didn't have you to keep me dreaming at the close of each day. When I'm without you and my heart kneels to pray, I pray about you. You take a star and lead it far away from heaven, and the star will be lost as I'm lost without you. Cosas del corazón que son preciosas, dame tus manos, ven, toma las mías, que te voy a confiar las ansias mías. Son palabras solamente mis angustias, y esas palabras son como me gusta.
Was worth a lot more to me than $300, and besides, I know you didn't take it.
Oh, thanks, Miss Davis. I'm glad you trust me. You know I wouldn't do anything to harm you. After all, you're the one who gave me so many opportunities.
Yeah, and you're the one who never took any.
Well, listen here, Joan. If you're so sure Andy didn't take your $300, then who did take it?
Oh, Andy.
Well, it's Barbara Weatherby.
Ha ha! Another suspect.
Oh, no, Miss Davis, I don't think
that... Oh, Andy, I've had such a trying day today. It started at breakfast this morning when Pater and I began to talk, and before we knew it, we were having words with each other.
Well, that's natural. How else could you talk unless you had words?
Oh, Miss Davis.
Otherwise, it would come out, duh, duh,
duh. Oh, Andy, Pater was so unreasonable. He accused me of spending money foolishly, and he finally cut off my allowance for this month entirely.
He did?
Yes. But that isn't going to stop me. Pater doesn't know it, but I happen to have a nest egg of $300, and I'm going to spend it, too.
A nest egg of $300?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you like that? This kid's going to hatch the egg I laid.
What kind of moronic drivel is this?
Look who's talking. Duh, duh. Where'd you get that $300, Bab?
Andy, what is Miss Davis driving at?
Well, you see, Barbara, $300 disappeared from her cash register this morning.
Oh, I see. Miss Davis, you're not seriously accusing me of pilfering your paltry $300.
pilfering my poultry? Well, first this kid steals my eggs, and now she's swiping my chicken.
Miss Tavis, I warn you, you'll hear from my attorney about this libelous slander, and perhaps that'll teach you to control your flip lip.
Flip lip. What a drip.
You're getting yourself into more trouble. You're accusing everyone who comes in here of stealing your $300.
Well, that isn't so, Harry. I didn't accuse you.
Well, it would be ridiculous to accuse me. After all, what would I do with your $300?
Is there a Mr. Harry Bonzel here?
Yes, I'm Harry Bonzel. What's on your mind, little boy?
Sign here. Your motorcycle is outside.
Motorcycle? Mm-hmm. Harry, did you buy a new motorcycle?
Well, I...
Here's your receipt, mister. Paid in full. $300.
So, Harry...
No, Joan, don't you look at me like that. Now, I can see in your eyes you think I took your money to buy a new motorcycle. I didn't steal your money. I didn't use it to buy a motorcycle. I didn't, I tell you, I didn't. I didn't, Joan, I didn't.
So, Harry, now I know what you did with the money.
What?
You took dramatic lessons.
Oh, bean juice.
Miss Davis, it really isn't fair to suspect all your friends of wrongdoing.
That's right. You know what happened? I nearly lost one of my best friends that way.
What way?
Well, he was my roommate, and we were both preparing to go to a formal dinner dance when suddenly I realized it was missing.
Your dress shirt?
No, my dress shirt was there, but the thing I needed most was gone. Gone.
Your studs?
No, my suds. My cake of swan was gone.
Oh, this is too much for me. I think I'll lie down for a minute.
No, Joan, wait. You must hear this. I thought my best friend had taken my cake of swan because I realized that he realized that swan is pure as fine Castile's.
Better talk loud. I'm lying down way over here.
Oh, okay. This friend of mine realized that swan was so pure and so mild that doctors recommended for a baby's tender skin, and he realized if swan's good for baby, it's got to be good for your hands and face, your tub or shower. Gee, I hated to suspect my friend, but the evidence seemed all too clear.
Did he confess? Did he come clean?
No, of course he came clean. He used my swan. And he loved it. He loved it because it was so gentle. Loved it because it was so hard-working and gave him loads of suds, even in hard water. He loved swan so much I forgave him. For after all, who could resist such a temptation? Ah, swan, what a soap. Ladies and gentlemen, the defense rests.
Well, I can't rest until I find out who really took that money.
How are you going to go about it, Miss Davis?
Well, I'm sure that somebody who was in this tea room within the last half hour has got my $300. Now, I'm going to get them all together and give them a third degree. One of them took it. But who?
Who?
Who? Who? Now, quiet, everybody. I have something to say to all of you. I know very well that somebody in this room is responsible for the loss of my $300. Now, unless one of you confesses to the crime, I'll be forced to use third-degree methods.
Miss Davis, are you sure this money was stolen from your cash register?
Certainly, Babs. I'm positive that money was taken right out from under my nose, but I didn't see who took it.
Well, I don't wonder. You couldn't detect anything that went on under your nose without the aid of radar.
Oh, excuse me.
That does it. I'm going to work on this girl first. Andy, hand me the rubber hose.
Rubber hose?
Yep, I'm going to siphon every drop of peroxide out of this kid's hair.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I can use it, too. Look at the part here.
I'm not going to stand for any more of this nonsense. I'm going home.
Oh, no, you don't, Hippie. Nobody leaves this room until I get a confession. I know a way to make one of you crack. I saw a detective do it this way in a mystery picture. He made the criminal crack by using maddening, monotonous sounds. First, he started the clock ticking like this. Then he started chewing peanuts like this. And then he let the water drip slowly, like this.
Joan, who cracked?
I did. That racket is driving me crazy. See, wait a minute. I know what's wrong here.
The guilty person is ashamed to confess in front of everyone, so I'm going to give the guilty party a chance to restore the money without anyone ever knowing who she or he really is.
How are you going to do that, Miss Davis?
Well, I'm going to turn out all the lights and count to three, and when I put the lights back on again, I expect to find $300 on this table. Ready? Lights out. One, two, three. Hey! Here go the lights.
Jeepers! Joan, look at the money on that table. 60, 70, 80, 90, $1.65.
$1.65? Who put that there?
I did. I just wanted to start the pot rolling. Now, folks, you get the idea, so I'll turn out the lights again. One, two, three. Well, Harry, how much have we got now?
$1.75.
Oh, come, come, folks. You'll have to do better than that. That hardly pays for the wear and tear on the light switch. I'll give you one more chance. One, two, three. Now how much, Harry?
85 cents.
85 cents? Holy smokes, I've been robbed again.
No, you haven't, Miss Davis. Here's the rest of it. It fell on the floor. 80, 90.
Well, well, what's the reason for this big gathering in the tea room, Miss Davis? Holding a seance?
Well, Mr. Weatherby, $300 was missing from my cash register, and I'm trying to find out who took it.
Miss Davis, nobody took any money from your tea room. When you made your deposit in my bank this morning, you deposited $300 more than your slip showed.
Is my slip showing again?
No, Miss Davis. Once again, you've wasted our valuable time. And before I leave this tea room, I must ask for your apology.
All right, Hippie, I give you my apology.
And, Miss Davis, I must ask for your apology, too.
Okay, Babs, I give you my apology.
Well, Joan, I'm asking for your apology.
Well, Harry, I give you my apology. Say, Andy, aren't you going to ask me for anything?
No, Miss Davis.
How do you like that? Here I am in the perfect mood for giving, and he ain't even asking. Any questions?
Joni will be back in just a moment. In the meanwhile, I've got a good word to pass along about that new white floating soap. Yes, sir, Swan Soap really is a pal. Always ready to give you suds and then more suds when you're doing dishes and laundry. And at the same time, Swan is kind to your hands. Strong soaps may leave your hands rough and red. Swan Soap leaves them smooth and lovely. Swan is actually pure as fine Castiles. So mild, too, just what the doctor ordered for baby's bath. And that's why it's perfect for your hands, for your bath, for your complexion. No fooling, folks. For suds and mildness combined, you can't beat Swan. S-W-A-N, Swan. And now here's Joni again. Say, what's happening in Swanville next week, Joan?
Well, Harry, next week my tea room is catering a special convention banquet for a meeting of very amazing and amusing people.
Well, gosh, who are they?
Well, I'm sorry, Harry. I'll have to keep that a secret until we all get together next Monday night. But before I leave tonight, here's something that shouldn't be kept a secret for even a minute. There's a very, very serious shortage of help in the hospitals throughout the country, both professional nursing help and regular help, a shortage which, if allowed to continue, can seriously affect the physical and mental health of our nation. That's why I issue this peacetime recruiting call to urge every man and woman, skilled or unskilled, to enlist immediately in well-paid, urgently needed hospital work. In this way, you can help keep America the healthiest as well as the happiest nation on earth. Good night.
Joan Davis Show, presented by Swan Soap, is produced and directed by Dick Mack and written by Jay Summers, Jack Harvey, and Cy Wills. Remember, friends, stay tuned to this station, and in 5 minutes you'll hear the Lux Radio Theater. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.